Session number 26984.
Frank House, Reel 1. Can you tell me first of all where you were born?
Yes, I was born in the city of Bath. I think I'm right in saying it's a city.
Yes. And what did your father do?
Well, I'm a one-parent family. I was one-parent family.
So you were brought up by your mum?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, right. And correct. There was just one of you, was there?
Yes, that's right. Child. Yes.
Okay. So what did your mother do? Was she... She went to work, did she?
No, we lived with her mother, which is my grandma, of course. And my mother used to run the household, actually. She had five brothers, I think I'm right in saying. And three were living in the house initially, one died. So that there was three, four, five, six of us in the house.
Right. So lots of uncles.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And what sort of work did they do?
They worked in the local factory, which was became the Wilts United Dairies eventually, but initially it was called Salter and Stokes.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school at South Chard, which is a matter of 3 miles from here.
Right. So you went away to school, did you, from Bath?
Oh, when I was born in Bath, but quickly came back. I don't remember the living in Bath.
Oh, right. So you were but brought up near
We
Chard.
Were brought up, actually, at... Tatworth. Now, Tatworth has got described as two or three names. It can be called South Chard or Perry Street or even Chard Junction.
So that's where you went to
It's
school.
A combination of names which it officially described as South Chard. That's where I went to school.
Okay. That's right. And did you enjoy school?
Yes, I did. I did very well at school, if I remember rightly. Headmaster and I seemed to get on very well. Mm-hmm. In fact, I feel quite certain that I passed the 11 plus, but unfortunately, there seemed not to be, as I remember, there seemed not to be any vacancies. Due to people paying to go in those days.
Yes, yeah. So where did you go to for secondary school?
Well, South Chard did have and still have, as far as I understand, an infant school and
a secondary
school.
So,
that's right.
So you stayed there.
That's right.
Yeah. And did you do any exams while you were at school?
Yes, I did this 11 plus examination.
When you left school, did you do any then?
No, not after. No.
And what age did you leave school?
14.
And what did you want to do when you left school? Did you have any ambitions to be an engine driver or...?
Not really. Jobs were very scarce in those days, but I initially went into an office.
Did you?
In this town for 12 months.
Right. And what were you doing in the office?
Office boy.
And what sort of office was it? Was
it was an engineering factory in Chard. And the name of the company was Denning & Company. And they did exist for about 100 years, I think, in all.
And you stayed there for about a year, was it?
I stayed there for a year.
And then where did you go?
And then I went to join the co-op, the cooperative society, and I was then became a counterhand for 3 years. I did my service for 3 years. Yeah. And then, shall I go on?
Yes.
Then after that, I was invited by my cousin to my uncle and my cousin, who were both running a portable building business, and I joined them.
Right, so they had their own company.
That's right.
And what sort of portable buildings were they doing?
Well, we used to make poultry houses, pig houses, garden sheds, greenhouses, village halls, bungalows. We built bungalows around this area.
Right. All out of wood.
Yes, one still standing near Chard, which in those days cost £100. And it's still being lived in today.
Yeah, how wonderful.
Yes.
So you stayed there, did you, till you went in the army, or?
No. I actually became involved in the business and made a partner, but the business, due to the war looming, it curtailed business very much so, and I decided that I ought to perhaps take another job that I'd been offered, which was a deputy manager of a small department of Wilkes United Dairies at Chard Junction, which is akin to part of the village of South Chard. And there were two of us in that department, the manager and myself, and my main responsibility was not transporting it to London, but my responsibility was to get it onto the train at Chard Junction.
Yes.
For London.
Right.
And they just literally send half-gallon tins regularly to London.
Right.
And other places.
And
of
this
course.
Was milk, was it? Or?
It was clotted cream, which was delicacy, well sought after by people in London, places like that.
That's it. And you stayed doing that till you were called up, did
yes,
you?
Yes, I was then called in November 1939, went to Exeter on the 14th November, as I already said.
Yeah. And what did you feel about being called up? Did you want to go?
Or? I was very excited. Yes, I think I always wanted to be a soldier. In fact, I always seemed to play with a broken down air gun that was given to me by somebody, and we used to play cowboys and Indians.
So you liked the idea of that.
Yes, I always fancied with this stupid air gun, broken air gun. It was broken. It couldn't be fired at all. But I was.
And what did your mum think about you joining up?
I think she took it into her stride.
She didn't say she was upset.
No, in fact, she went to work in the ammunition. Grandmother died, and she went to work in ammunition factory during most of the war.
Right.
And she lived in Salisbury.
So you set off from Chard, and where did you have to report to?
Yes. I reported to Yeovil.
Yeovil?
Yes.
Do you remember that journey? You went on the train, did you?
I do indeed. There was an inch of snow. And caught the train at Chard Junction. Some of the Exeter boys were already on board, so that... We got to Yeovil, and we had to try and march, which is and mid train, to Loughton Camp at Yeovil. And this was a temporary training ground because we should have gone to Exton, or some people say Limpston, which is down in Devon, to the Royal Marine training camp, but they'd only just started to build it, and there was no accommodation there or no parade ground.
Yeah. So what was Loughton Camp like?
Loughton Camp was already in use by the army, so that we took over just a part of it, a few huts to live in. There were just over 100 of us arrived there.
Right. And what was the atmosphere like? So it was a temporary camp, so the NCOs were probably feeling quite busy trying to get all these people sorted out.
Yes, they'd just come back from the Middle East. Regular Marines, Royal Marines, you see.
Do you remember any of those NCOs from Loughton? Because they were the first people who dealt with you, really, weren't they?
I remember, yes, I do indeed. I remember the senior one, which is Colour Sergeant Hall, H-A-L-L, and we used to call him Nobby. He was quite a large man, mm-hmm. And we were a little bit frightened of him. But
really? Did he shout at you all?
Yes, he was... He was typical colored sergeant. Sergeant Harwood was the one we respected, Bill Harwood. He was a magnificent man, and he turned out to be one of the bravest. There are few brave Royal Marines that I remember, and Sergeant Harwood was the bravest of the lot.
And you went into action with him, did you?
Yes. I've seen him with bullets flying around him in this country. I'll tell you about that later.
Right, okay. So when they got you to the camp, did they kick you out straight away or sort you out into groups, or what did they do?
Well, there was a shortage of quite a lot of things. I think uniform came along. And, of course, the palliasis, which was stuffed with straw and which we slept on.
Was it quite cold?
I think we were pretty hardy. I don't remember, although there was inches of snow to start with, but we didn't get too much snow. There was some... But I don't remember sort of... I think we were kept too busy to feel cold.
So they had the task of training you. So how did the day's schedule go? What time did you get up?
Oh, we had to arise. The wakey-wakey was at around about 6 o'clock every morning. And we were on parade at 8, I think. Yes. And we were kept extremely busy.
What sorts of things were you doing? Did they do PT?
Yes, it was discipline and drills. And then to make it interesting, we started doing formation drills, which I used to enjoy and still do enjoy, actually. Yeah.
And that was sort of for display, was it, where you were marching in patterns or...?
Well, it's all part of discipline and drill. We became automatons, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what weapons did you learn at Loughton?
Only the rifle at Loughton. We went on the range, as I remember, 3 or 4 times. And I excelled, I'm glad to say. Yeah, I seemed to win the cigarettes. That was the first prize for the number of bullseyes.
So why had you gone in the Marines? Did you choose the Marines?
Yes, I did. Yes. Going back to the early days before I enlisted in the Royal Marines, I went to Taunton with a pal of mine to volunteer for the Army, Royal Army Service Corps, being that I could drive. I could drive lorries and ride a motorcycle in those days, so I was quite capable, and I thought I would fit in with the Royal Army Service Corps. But I went down there, and they accepted my pal because he was younger than me. But I had already was at the age where I was in the group ready to be called. So they refused me, and I remember being very annoyed about that. But however, after that, I thought, well, I think as the Royal Army don't want me, I'll try for the Navy. So I went to Exeter and asked to be put in the Navy, and they said that they were already full. They'd already got enough volunteers for the Navy. As a matter of training, isn't it, really? So, and then a very smart colour sergeant, recruiting colour sergeant, Royal Marine, appeared with a red sash. And I was attracted to that, and I thought, well, that's a smart guy. Perhaps I'll join the Royal Marines. Right. So,
and they accepted you.
That was it. I was accepted. They needed Royal Marines then.
Yes. So at Loughton, you trained on the rifles. Did you do any artillery training?
Not at Loughton.
Right.
No.
Okay. How long were you there?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yes. Then
so
we
did all your basic training there.
That's right.
Yeah. And where did you go after that?
We went down to Limpston, Exton or Limpston, yeah. Call it what you will. The Royal Marine Training Camp is still existing now. It's now the Commando Training Camp.
What was it like, that place there, in those days? Because the war had started, didn't it?
Well, the camp, there was only three buildings, and that was the galley, which is known in the army as the cookhouse, and the guard room, and the colonel's office adjoining, the CO's office adjoining. And that was the only three buildings. There's no accommodation, so we had to be billeted the opposite side of the road in bell tents. That's right, six to a tent, if I remember.
In the winter.
Yes. Well, of course we'd moved on a bit then from January, you see.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks in February. Well, of course, still winter, of course.
And how did the training go there? They started doing different things, did they?
Well, we used to use the Limpston Woodbury Common, which is there's Exton and Limpston, two little villages. We used to do Strenders route marches, speed marches, and did toughening up process. But the infantry training was carried out on Woodbury Common, so that which is a very high point up above the River Exe, looking down on the River Exe, actually.
And what sort of infantry training did you do? Were you digging slit trenches or doing patrols or...?
No, we did infantry training, but we didn't dig any slit trenches at all. We learnt to, as I sometimes say foolishly, we learnt to run on our elbows and our knees, which is keeping close to the ground, of course, and taking cover behind. It was typical infantry training, which was very useful.
It was quite tough, wasn't it?
Very tough indeed, yes.
Did many people drop out? Because I think it was physically, it was quite demanding, wasn't it?
I don't recall at that time people dropping out.
Mm. They all got through.
Yes.
Yeah. How tough were the people training you? Were they very demanding? I mean, they'd push you, would they?
Indeed, well, I think most it was a matter of competition really and pride. We all were very proud to be in the Royal Marines, and that still exists to this day.
You felt a bit special, didn't you?
Yes, I think like every regiment, I mean, I meet in the course of travelling around. I belong to about 6 organisations, and I meet quite a lot of, still regularly meet Royal Navy and Burma Star and Normandy Veterans.
Yeah.
And everybody are naturally proud of their regiment.
Yeah. So how long were you at Limpstone?
We weren't there very long. I've got a diary here. Yes, we left Limpstone in May, and we arrived then at Dover. And do you wish me to?
Yes, you carry on. Yes.
Well, we arrived at Dover. We left the Rowing Training Camp at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yes, I remember I was out that particular night and came back in the early hours and found the camp on the move at 3 o'clock. However, we arrived at Dover and we got on a ship called the City of Canterbury. I think I'm right in saying it was the City of Canterbury. In fact, I'm feel quite sure it was. And they were just about to draw up the gangplank, and a Donar came hurtling along the quay there and reported to the officer who saw us aboard, and then he ordered us all off. So then we were taken down then into Folkestone for 3 days, and we were billeted in a girls' school until they could find what the next move was. And the next move was the top of Folkestone Hill. They found a lovely green field, which I've got a photograph here of, and that became our place of occupation until December 1940.
Right. And so, had you been trained in artillery by now?
Ah, yes.
Trained on guns.
Yes.
Where was that? At Limpstone?
No, we were sent to Wales. Near Aberdovey. Ah. Towan.
Yes.
Towan. That's the place. Towan in those days was the place for training people for firing AK-AK guns. Okay.
Yeah. So what size of gun had you been trained on? You'd fired blanks, had you, down at Limpstone? Or?
No, we hadn't fired any heavy guns, no. Not at Limpstone, and I don't recall firing my rifle at Limpstone.
Right.
Strange enough, I don't think they had a firing range there, as they did at Yeovil. But at Towan, we were trained on AK-AK guns.
Okay. How long were you up at Towan?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Right.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So they had to do all the training in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yes,
that's
right.
That must have been quite hard.
That's right. That's right. Yes, well, we got the rudiments of it, you know. We weren't very accurate. at that time in experience.
Oh, and what part did you take in the gun crew? Did you have your own job?
Yes, I was on the elevation. It was a question of this business and watching the dials, and to keep the pointer on the dials. It was.
Did you find that quite easy to learn, or?
Certainly, you need to be alert and concentrate because you had to. It was important to keep the rudiments of it is a little bit complicated, but it was electrically operated, the whole system actually. But
were you able to hit targets when you were at Towin?
I don't remember we were very efficient there. It was during the Battle of Britain where we became quite efficient.
When you got some practice.
Yes. We managed to get hold, the powers that be managed to get hold of 2 3-inch guns off a battleship. So, this is hearsay, actually. We understood these 3-inch guns were taken off a battleship in Portsmouth, that area.
And these were the ones you had at Folkestone, weren't they?
There's the ones we had at Folkestone.
Up on the heights. Was this above the airfield, the aerodrome?
It was near Hawkins Aerodrome.
Right. Okay.
That's right. We were, I think our job there was to defend Hawkinge Aerodrome.
Right. Which battery were you in?
I was in A battery. That's right.
Do you remember the names of the other people in that battery or any of them?
Yes, I do. I'm still associating with a few of them now.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got photographs here of the group which we joined.
You'd all trained together, had you?
Yes, that's right.
So you knew each other quite well by the time you got to Folkestone.
Indeed, yes. That's
so what
right.
was the emplacement like? Did you have to build it, or was it already done for you?
No, we had to dig these holes. Our billets were on the guns, around the guns. We slept in holes in the ground, which we dug out, and there were little shelves to sleep on. We put our ground sheet there. So we slept on the guns, so to speak. Well, not wholly and solely, but of course we did get a relief occasionally. But we had a very busy time there.
So you were there before the Battle of Britain started, were you?
Yes, just before it hotted up, but it didn't take long before it started to...
So when you first got there, were there enemy aircraft coming over?
There were one or two, yes.
And were you able to get some shots off at them?
Oh, yes, indeed. But then they started to come over in small groups, and then finally there were 200 at a time. Eventually, 200 plus. I've seen them going over at least 200 or possibly more in different groups.
And how effective? Could you get your mortars up among them?
Yes, we did have success. I think it was slightly exaggerated, perhaps, but we did have success in hitting aircraft.